Make no mistake about it, there is a bit of mystery and magic in numbers. Just listen to the Beatles. Or Clifford Pickover, a scientist who does research in the fields of physics and math and art. Recently, Pickover turned his fancy to magic squares. If you're a magic square neophyte, like me, here's an example. Take a 3x3 square with the magic sum of 15. It's one square divided into three rows and three columns with a number in each box. Now, here's the magic part. The top row across says 4, 9, and 2. That equals 15. The second row across reads 3, 5, and 7. 15. Now the third row, 8, 1, and 6. 15 again. Try the diagonals. They equal 15 too. The bigger the square, the harder it is, and more symmetries and patterns you can create. Pickover told Steve Paulson there's a long, rich history behind magic squares.
The first magic square probably appeared around 2000 BC in China, and the legend has it where Emperor Yu was walking along the Yellow River and found a turtle with spots on its back. And just like magic squares, they had the same sum in all the directions. And supposedly the turtle spent years in the king's court and had the company of mathematicians and all sorts of visiting dignitaries.
So this became the most famous turtle in the world, the one with these magic numbers on its back.
That's right. And from there, it gradually grew in importance all over the world. In about 1000 AD, magic squares appeared in India. Even Ben Franklin in the 1700s, he said, oh, it's a waste of time to study these things. But then he spent hours and hours and developed amazing magic squares, larger magic squares.
In fact, didn't Ben Franklin come up with an amazing magic square of his own discovery?
Yes, Ben Franklin came up with many different types of squares. And what makes them amazing is that they go beyond simple magic squares that have the same sums of the numbers in the different directions, but they have additional patterns and symmetries. And interestingly, these magic squares, because of these symmetries, it's a little hard to explain without seeing the pictures, but they've been used all over the world and studied. People in Nigeria have been fascinated by them, the Mayan Indians, the ancient Babylonians. In India, people would use different number squares for finding a husband. A woman would write the numbers on a china plate and then wash them off and actually drink it. And all sorts of mystical associations. Turks would put these on their soldiers' shirts to protect them against danger. And so I go into the history, and then I start looking at all the unusual individuals today who study them.
Well, I can see the appeal for people with a religious bent, why they would gravitate to magic squares, because the suggestion is there is some kind of underlying divine order in the universe, because people aren't just making up these numbers. The numbers are out there, but it's a matter of figuring out the patterns that are somehow already there.
Yeah, in a way, I think of mathematics akin to an archaeologist making discoveries. You know, some people think we invent mathematics, like William Shakespeare invents a story. I think, in a sense, when mathematicians are making theorems and creating magic squares, they're almost making discoveries in the same way you might discover a mountain peak. You brought up mathematics and mysticism. Certainly, this mystical association with numbers and religion has gone on for centuries. In some ways, you could think of God as a mathematician. So much of nature is based on numbers. There's something called the Fibonacci numbers that tells us about the arrangement of seeds in the sunflower. There are logarithmic spirals that describe seashells. There's something called fractals that describe the branching patterns of blood vessels. All around us, nature is mathematics.
So do some of these spiritualists from the past who were drawn to magic squares, did they make that connection explicitly, sort of this connection between God and math?
Well, the ancients certainly made it in alchemy. They thought they could use magic squares to transform metals. They used it in art. Albrecht Dürer had a picture of an angelic figure with magic squares in the background. So there were all these mystical associations. And in some way, mathematics has, I think, an intersection with religion. Mathematics ponders the infinite often, just like religion. They're often non-material truths that the mathematicians work with, just like religious people, and they try to apply it to the real world. And both math and religion often has a very mystical or arcane symbol, so I see some similarities there.
You mentioned the great Renaissance artist Albrecht Dürer, who had his own magic square. In fact, it's been called the Dürer Square. And I have to say, it's fascinating. You have a picture of it in your book, and there are four boxes in each direction. Each one adds up to 34, but it goes beyond that.
Yes, the square that I show is just an array, a 4x4 array of numbers, but if you notice, there's a 15, 14. One cell has 15, another 14 in the array, and that's the year that Dürer made the etching. And the engraving that it's part of, it's called Melancholia, is very mysterious. I don't even think artists or scholars understand all the symbols in it. There's all these scattered tools and flowing sands in a glass. But right in the background, underneath the bell, there's a magic square that he invented. And in the book, I go into all the marvelous symmetries. And you could really spend minutes, hours, days trying to really grasp all the hidden symmetries in these magic squares.
So if you add up the numbers in each line, for instance, the bottom line is it's going to add up to 34, the top line will be 34, the diagonal will be 34, and then the middle four squares, if you add those up, they also come to 34.
Right. Like many magic squares in the book, we can go beyond the ordinary definition of magic square and find all sorts of patterns. And in Dürer's square, you mentioned a few extras, but there's many, many different ways of getting the magic sum of 34 by summing different numbers in the array, and they almost make crystalline patterns when you're trying to connect the lines or connect the numbers that are forming these magic sums.
Why do you think some people get so obsessed with this? I mean, there's no obvious payoff or practical payoff. I mean, these are mind games, but obviously fascinating.
I think one reason is it's so simple to explain once you can see it on paper that even beginners can play around with them. And then from there, certain people latch onto them. I have magic squares from people in jail, for example. They've created magnificent things. I always wonder, you know, if you could reward prisoners for these magnificent magic squares, what effect that might have on society or research. I talk about some people, one in particular called the Great Fubini, who was suicidal. And he got out of his depression suicide by creating ever larger magic squares, and that became an obsession for him. But he said that magic squares saved my life.
I've read about some people who've actually tried to find connections between magic squares and quantum physics.
There are all sorts of possible connections. There's something called Latin squares, which are useful in statistics and trying to organize different experiments and layouts. So there are hints at possible applications, but I would say for the most part, it's more what you call recreational math. And I don't think that demeans in any way, because mathematics is pure mind stuff, and you never know. I mean, the whole universe seems to be built up on mathematics, from string theory to quantum physics. So mathematics seems to underpin it all. I think magic squares is one fun way for even amateurs to start getting involved in the excitement. And amateurs do certainly make new discoveries in magic squares.
Science researcher Clifford Pickover is the author of The Zen of Magic Squares. He talked with Steve Paulson.